What a prick, seriously.
You need serious professional help.
Big time, Tory Hunter. Mike Baird, you know, is the guy. We trust his word. I'm going to give him a B. I think probably what he's saying is probably worth a B, B minus. Hmm. How about you? Just, I know we have to go.
Well, we're going to talk about that next.
Okay. Well, then let's just do that. Shall we?
Okay.
Right here at Radioactive.
Grew up in this organization, played 15 years in this organization before I went on my 7-year spiritual journey. But I miss Minnesota, and I'm glad to be back. This is where I learned how to play the game of baseball, and not just play the game of baseball, but be a man. So this is home. I'm glad to be back, and I'm glad they're accepting me with open arms.
Corey with two eyes. You know he had two eyes?
That's interesting. Most people do.
Tory with two eyes, Hunter, on coming back home.
My neighbor's dog had to take his eye out, though. He's a one-eyed guy, and so every time I look over the fence, I get terrified.
One eye.
My dog will have nothing to do with it. My dog's kind of a pompous little biatch. Not attracted to the one-eyed dog anymore. But that has nothing to do with what we're going
to
talk about.
Lucky?
No.
It's kind of a tough thing to grade this team because you just... You only have information to go by from the calls that we take in every day. I trust their word. Jim Rich has had a go at it, but Mike Berardino certainly is the guy that you listen to. And
well, how do you find out about training camp for the Minnesota Vikings?
I mean, he gets to talk to him. I mean, he goes up in there and he talks in the locker room. He's finding out what it's all about. He watches them as they walk out to the batting cage if they do Aaron Hicks. I mean, he knows what their routine is. He knows how they're playing. It's a pretty good feel for the game, but regardless, I'm going with that as kind of what we have to go by when that team comes back and they tee it up.
Do a lot of reading, a lot of watching of the MLB Network, talking to Al Newman, who goes down there. Brian Murphy's down there this week. Our guy Mike Baradino.
You're a prick, man. I don't even know you.
Yeah, I know. Just by some of the things just sending Aaron Hicks back down to AAA.
That gives you a good idea.
And we're going to talk to Chris Shad, one of our writers at Cold Omaha at 105theticket.com, who said Paul Molitor's taking Minnesota Nice out of the clubhouse, which is awesome. And some of my favorite things that he said in that article is if Aaron Hicks would have made the base running errors that he got pulled for this season, this spring training down in Fort Myers, when Paul Molitor says, what are you doing? Get your head in the game. Get out of the game because you're being such an idiot. Whereas Ron Gardenhire would have said, oh, buddy boy, here, have a cupcake. And you'll get better next time. You know, it's just completely different. And Paul Molitor telling people, hey, telling the Twins, this is the way, I mean, we're playing baseball. The way I played baseball, I'm a Hall of Famer. I left my blood and guts out on the field every single day. That's how managers and coaches, and I'm sure you know this, that their teams usually represent who they are. We're watching it happen in front of our very eyes with Mike Zimmer and the Minnesota Vikings.
Great analogy. I think also that the Gardy, even though he's sort of a split personality, because he'd fire it up and go, he'd charge the mound and go have an argument or two, several.
That was my favorite thing. But
that was kind of the hardest part. Thing is, but he's
JoJo
so jovial and
all these little nicknames, JoJo,
yeah,
and
Molitor's gonna
Dilsey,
be about
that. Husey, yeah. And this and this is stupid.
That could change. I'm sure that's going to change a little bit. I know Paul Molitor a little bit. I've talked with him several times. On the golf course, every now and then I got to see him and talk to him. He was big on Gobot, too, by the way. Gomez, he loved Gomez.
Gardy?
No, Molitor.
A Molitor.
He'd be an all-star someday.
Oh, yeah, well, and look.
And look
wow.
at him go.
Wow.
I mean, but Molitor knows the game. And very few teams have a skipper like Molitor. I mean, a guy with that kind of respect that you have to have. I had one in football, only one, and that was Raymond Berry, who was a Hall of Famer, wide receiver for the Colts. But when you have a guy like that, like Molitor, Hall of Famer, your ears do perk up a little bit when he talks. You have to. I mean, if you're a baseball player and you love the game from the time you're a kid to where you're at now, and there's a Hall of Famer talking to you every day about this is what the hell you have to do to make it at this level, I got to think your antenna's up.
Yeah, well, some of the young guys, too, for spring training, the Minnesota Twins. I mean, Byron Buxton, Miguel Sano got set down a little bit early.
Yeah.
But watching them play was a lot of fun. Kenny Vargas and Danny Santana look like they're the real deal. That was the thing that I was worried about. They had a great second half of the season, both the young guys, both up in the major leagues for the first time, basically playing extended time. And they're basically doing the same thing down in spring training. I like that a lot. Mike Pelfrey didn't get that spot in the rotation. He had a pretty good spring, 1.15 ERA, 15.2 innings this spring. He's a little fired up about being sent to the bullpen. But at the same time, Tommy Malone, he's a soft-throwing hit-your-spots type of guy. He's not going to overpower anybody. He's not going to strike out a lot of people. There's a good chance, unfortunately, that he may not hold on to that fifth and final starter spot in the rotation. So, right. Boom, there goes Pelfrey again. Plus, if Pelfrey, I'd love to see Pelfrey be the setup man for Glenn Perkins. I mean, he can throw in the 90s fastball. He's a big guy. It would be a nice change of pace guy to come in the seventh or eighth inning and kind of mow him down and set him up for Glenn Perkins.
It would be. I'm sure that's what they're probably going to try and do. But, you know, Malone, he's going to paint the edges. Apparently, he's going to be sort of a finesse guy, great control.
Good.
And make him chase the wrong pitch. And apparently he's laser light orchestra.
Fastball 88 miles per hour tops, which, whatever.
Well, it means he's got something else. If you're going to make the top five on any team's rotation, you better bring something.
Or did they just want a lefty?
Well, and that. I mean, that changes things.
I don't know. The Twins, though, starting pitching, or the team ERA, 3.91 for the spring, good for ninth in the league, which will ultimately, in my opinion, determine whether this team can compete in 2015. So I'm going to go ahead and give them an A-minus, B-plus for spring training this year. Can't wait for baseball. Let's go. Monday can't come soon enough.
What is your prediction then for the season? I mean, A-plus, B, or B-plus, A-minus is...
For spring training. I mean, everything can change.
I know. All things being equal and just, you know, weighing into it and what we had last year. About this time, we had, I don't know what you thought, but I didn't call it a B-plus. That's for sure.
No. I didn't think we'd win 81 games, which you did. Yeah. You bet me $1,300. You just ridiculously thinking person. But anyways,
money well spent.
I don't want to do that again this season because there's a good chance I think that they could be hovering around 500. I don't think we lose 90 games this year. I think maybe mid to upper 80s. I don't think we're 500 quite yet, but I think maybe mid to upper 80s we're getting closer.
Losses. Okay.
But we're making strides here. That's what we're doing.
I say so.
We're getting better.
To hear Vegas
younger.
Talk. Oh,
Vegas
I mean,
is stupid. They're drunk.
They're actually
drunk cocaine.
Gosh, they're smart. I don't know how they do it, but they picked the Vikings at 6.5. I said 7. I went over and won it.
You should do the same thing for the Twins. We should talk to Kelly in Vegas and say, hey, here's the deal.
Yeah.
You need to put money down because 71.5 wins, I have a feeling. There's no way the Twins are regressing this season.
I don't think so. God, if they do. I mean, I can't imagine how. God. I think top to bottom, they're better. The skipper all the way down to the last decision made in the rotation.
I like the coaching staff.
I think so, too.
Some of the additions.
Some of the young players
coming up. The pitching staff. The bullpen. I'm excited. Let's go.
I am. I really am. I'd love to see Buxton sooner than later. Gosh.
Don't want to ruin him, though. Don't want to ruin him.
You don't. You definitely don't. Here's someone I don't want to ruin either because we count on him for all of his draft knowledge. He's a senior NFL draft analyst for CBS Sports and NFLDraftScout.com. Dane Brugler. We've had him on several times before. He really knows his stuff. We're going to have him on next. Stay tuned. You wouldn't want to miss this.
Let's talk about the draft. Who are you going to take?
What's happening? Who are you picking?
They always call him Mr. Touchdown.
Draft day.
Talk football.
You can always talk football.
Let's go get them.
Draft day. History in the making.
I'm the get paid.
Pay me my money.
I was fortunate enough to be drafted.
One thing I wish you'd do for me.
What?
Win.
Just win, baby.
We'll give a great big year. All right. The hero of the year. Mr. Touchdown.
I think he's right on that borderline. I'm going to answer the question. I'm going to say, no, he's not a top 10 pick when you look at the teams and their needs and how this draft stacks up. But I think he's right there for me. 10, 11, 12 overall player in this draft class.
He's definitely a top 10 talent. Don't just draft a guy because he may be a top 10 talent. Draft for a need, and I don't see a need in the top 10 right now with the Jets doing what they did, going to get Cromartie and Reeves.
Welcome back, Radioactive Sports, Superstar Mike Morris, along with Ben Holson. We're going to talk the talk now, the NFL draft, and that's what we love around here. Well, we love everything sport-wise around here, but the NFL draft has a close place to the heart of the Radioactive Sports guys. And so we've introduced before, several times in the past, senior NFL draft analyst for CBS Sports and NFLDraftScout.com, Dane Brugler. He's back with us now. Dane, how are you?
27 days. It's almost here.
I cannot wait. And almost, it should be a national holiday. We were talking a couple of days ago about the top 10 favorite days in sport. Opening day of baseball, NCAA March Madness, that opening weekend, Super Bowl Sunday, obviously. I put the NFL draft at my number one. Even though the first round starts, I want to say at 6 or 7 o'clock after we get off the air at night, but... Oh, God, the NFL draft. That's why I want to talk. We talk to you at least once a week. I want to talk to you every single day, Dane. But
coming down the stretch, we just might, Dane. If you're available, we might just have you on every day because we love this stuff coming down the stretch.
This is all I mean, I talk to myself, so we might as well put a microphone in front of me and we can talk about it.
Well, there you go. I mean, you're on. I mean, I'll take you up on that. But you know what? At this time of year, it's all about the hype. Who's getting the most hype? And how then we look at that a year later. I mean, we've talked about the RG3s before in the past and all that build up with Andrew Luck. And then we've talked about Jadeveon Clowney and who's going to go first. And we know what happened to both those guys. This year, it's Jameis Winston. What are we going to be talking about a year from now going into the draft about the supposed first player picked overall in this year's draft? Are you buying into the hype that he's all that, Dane, or not?
I am. He should not be mentioned, on the same level as like an Andrew Luck. It's unfair and it's really just not true. That's not who he is. He's a different type of player. And I think we have to remember that he just turned 21 a few months ago. He's still a young, immature, young man. And so I think he still has a long way to go, to be the player that we all think he can be. But I do think he has the natural passing traits to see the field as a rookie. And if he goes to Tampa Bay, it'll be interesting to see how that quarterback situation works out, throughout summer practice and into training camp. Does Jameis take a hold of starting quarterback job and start from day one? That'll be interesting to watch. But, you know, with Jameis, you know, you watch him on tape and the interceptions, they can be maddening. He has no conscience, as Mike Mayock likes to say, and it's a great way to describe it. He needs to really abide by the Hippocratic Oath for quarterbacks, and that's keep your team from harm. And that's where Jameis needs to really improve, because it's a blessing and a curse testing these tiny windows, because in the NFL, you have to be able to do that. And he's shown on Florida State game tape, you can point to it, NFL throw after NFL throw, but in the NFL, those windows are even smaller and could lead to interceptions. And so for Jameis, it's going to be a fun ride and something that if you're Tampa Bay, I don't see how you pass on him.
Talking to Dane Brugler, our draft analyst guy, senior draft analyst for CBS Sports and NFLDraftScout.com. We love talking to him. He's all over the place. He's at Pioneer Press. He's in TwinCities.com. He's all over national media. Dane, Jameis Winston, if I'm the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, how am I overlooking the fact that he was accused of rape? He did the thing where he got on the table in the Commons at Florida State, stealing the crab legs. He just seems like a guy you don't want to be the face of your franchise, despite all of the on-the-field things that he can do. It's the off-the-field stuff that I'm worried about, especially investing so much money and time and resources into the number one overall draft pick.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. You have to be able to look at that side of it and be okay with who he is off the field. You don't have to love it. You don't have to love and say, here, date my daughter, but you have to be okay with who he is and how he presents himself in the community. And with Jameis, is it immaturity or is it more of a flaw in his psyche where it's going to be a recurring problem that he's going to find trouble? And that's something that every team picking early in this draft, they're doing their due diligence to try and figure that out. It's a tough part of scouting because you can look at the tape and you can say you can do this, you can do that. But when you really have to, you know, sit him down and talk to him and interview him and find out what he's all about, what's going on upstairs, it's really troubling because it's really hard to get a grasp on it. The psychological profile is something that NFL teams are really starting to implement more and more. There are people on the payroll for each team that are specializing in this. And so it's a part of the process, especially at the quarterback position. And so it's going to be different from team to team depending on how they feel about Jameis and off the field stuff. But there definitely are the red flags. There's 6 or 7 incidents, obviously the most important being the rape allegations, which he was cleared of, and which is important to note. So there's a lot of red flags there, but at the end of the day, you have to be comfortable with who he is, and that'll vary from team to team.
I agree with that completely. I mean, that's something you have to weigh into, and it's one of the, I think I agree with you. It's one of the toughest things to assess is character and what has happened in a young man's life, and is he still going to be that way as he grows older and under the tutelage of an NFL offensive coordinator or not. But some of these guys, you said 27 days and marching into it. It's not quite there yet. I think the cutoff for me is like 15 days when stock goes through the roof for some of these guys, and some just bail out. I mean, they just give up on other people for no reason at all, and you see other guys just sprinting to the top 10, top 15 players. Who are those people? I have another list that I'm going to be going through a little bit later in the show, but I want to know what your list might be of people who are rising and those who might be falling.
Well, starting with the falling, Randy Gregory out of Nebraska, a player that's been in the news lately, obviously came out that he failed a drug test at the combine, tested positive for marijuana. And if it was just an isolated incident, that's one thing. But there's a reoccurring problem here. And you started to hear whispers of this at the combine. And, when I started to dig and find out more and more, the worse it got. He failed two drug tests this past season at Nebraska. It got to the point where the coaching staff was just like, hey, quit testing him. We don't need him. We need him on the field. And so it goes back to his JUCO days and even in high school. He was actually committed to Purdue out of high school, but he even admitted he got a case of senioritis, and a part of that was the marijuana use, and he failed to qualify academically, went to the JUCO level. So there's a lot of baggage here. It's not just an isolated incident. And with what we saw with Josh Gordon and with the Cleveland Browns, you can't ignore that. And you can't say, well, he'll kick the habit once he gets to the NFL. It's not as simple as that. And so Randy Gregory, a very complicated prospect because he has top 10 talent, but he's not flawless either. And so when you push everything together, where does he end up on draft day? That's something to watch. And then guys that are, could be rising, I think we have to look at the cornerback position. Cornerback is a premium position in today's NFL. Trey Waynes, obviously, he's somewhere in that top 12, top 13, and he's going to go high. But then after that, what corners are going to come off the board in the first round? I think we could see as many as five or six. We could see a little bit of a run in that mid to late first round. Guys like Jalen Collins out of LSU, who has some ugly tape out there, but he has all the traits that you look for. And then Byron Jones out of UConn. He hasn't played, he missed the second half of the year because of a shoulder issue, got that surgery, but he blew up the combine. He ran a 4.43 at his pro day this week. And so I think Byron Jones would not shock me if we see him somewhere in the 20s out of the first round.
Talking Vikings and NFL Draft with Dane Brugler, our senior NFL Draft analyst for CBS Sports and NFLDraftScout.com. Now, you mentioned Trey Waynes skyrocketing up the draft board. I want to give all credit where credit is due to the superstar Mike Morris, who turned me on to Trey Waynes originally on Radioactive Sports here and said he's the guy I want the Minnesota Vikings to draft back when I think you saw him at the NFL Combine. And we've talked to you about him several times. I believe most mock drafts had us going wide receiver or offensive tackle, and I would say the majority, and you've led the way, Dane, having Trey Waynes go to the Vikings at number 11. However, since he's skyrocketing up the draft board, if he does go before 11, are the Vikings back to Devontae Parker? Do they go with Danny Shelton, who I hear the Vikings are big on, but no need for a defensive tackle? He's coming out of Washington. Who else could it possibly be? Are we back to the offensive line with Sheriff, or who else is there?
Collins from LSU.
Yeah, we could see. It's going to be interesting with the Vikings because they do have a few specific needs, but it would not shock me if they totally went off the board and went with a Bud Dupree out of Kentucky, a pass rusher. It would not shock me at all because when you're picking at 11, I mean, it's basically a top 10 pick. You're basically getting someone that you would rank in the top 10 players of this draft. And so I think you have a chance to really improve the roster. It's always great when you're the best player on your board matches your need, your top need. But in the top half of the first round, you want to get better. And so you want to add talent, even if it's at a position that maybe you wouldn't necessarily need right away. And so it would not shock me if the Vikings stick to their board, go best player available, which could be a pass rusher. If Trey Waynes is there, it's an outstanding fit. It makes sense. But Devontae Parker, again, I know, with the additions as the Vikings made this offseason with Mike Wallace, maybe wide receiver doesn't look as appealing there. But Devontae Parker has number one potential in this league. And so I think, you can't go wrong with a player of his caliber. So the Vikings, it really would not shock me which direction they go, but I think Waynes and Parker are still, for me at least, top two guys I have in mind when we talk about the Vikings.
Dane Brugler, thank you for your time, sir. We're going to keep calling on you now. The closer we get, the more calls you're going to get, okay?
Please don't change your number.
Yeah, don't. Don't do that.
Anytime, guys. I appreciate it.
My professional life depends on you, Dane. Love you to death.
Dane Brugler, senior NFL draft analyst for CBS Sports and NFLDraftScout.com. You know what? He knows what he's talking about.
Honest to God.
He's got some good people lined up there.
Reading the paper, and he's in TwinCities.com, Pioneer Press, talking to Chris Thomason. He's all over the place when you're watching on TV. We're lucky to have Dane Brugler. He is the real deal.
Love talking draft with people that study it. And I mean, he studies the draft. That's all he does all year long, and you can just tell. But anyway, we're going to go find our good friend Jim Rich somewhere. Hopefully we can set up the Jim Rich signal, kind of like the bat signal.
We'll do our best.
And get him on with us and see what he's thinking with the Wild as they face the New York Rangers.
It's go time tonight.
It is go time. And I mean, it kind of locks it up for sure. He said 99.9% were in the playoffs, but that was 8 games out. We won two games, actually. Now, this would probably ice it. No pun intended. But
sure, but I ice it, but I think we can still climb above the Chicago Blackhawks and maybe even the St. Louis Blues. Win as many games as you possibly can. Let's go.
Why not? And I don't know. I'm going to ask him a question. I can't wait to ask him. Let's put it that way. Come on back. Radioactive Sports. On.
To get some rest, to turn our brains off a little bit, but we're going to have to be prepared to dial it back up quickly and find that rhythm again.
You have to wonder with a team that's rolling along like we are, and I don't know if I've ever seen a team do this before. Certainly, I don't know that about hockey. I'm hoping that Jim Rich, our good friend over there at Fox, who joins us every day at 5:15, can answer that question. Has there ever been? Have you done the stats on this yet? How many teams in the history of the NHL have had runs like this within this time frame?
Well, the most recent I can think of was when they had the lockout season and the Chicago Blackhawks came back and they won like 30-some straight, with overtime and shootouts.
Yeah.
They opened up the season and ran away with the regular season best records. That was probably the last time. Another team that was this ridiculous was, you got to go way back to like 1976, the Montreal Canadiens lost, I think it was 12 games all year.
Oh, man.
So they were
dominant. They were dominant all the way through. Let me ask you this then. How many teams have started off the way we did and rebounded to become a completely different team, a 180 team, in fact, from the dismal start that we had? How many teams have flipped it and just gone wire to wire with a winning streak?
I would say zero.
Yeah, that's what I would say too.
I don't think this has ever happened where somebody was in 12th place and now I think they have the fourth or fifth best record in the Western Conference. Before we were talking about, well, gee, maybe we should start tanking so we could get in on these top prospects and fight Buffalo and Arizona to draft one of those two kids. And then everything turned the day they pulled the deal for that trade.
Yeah, we're talking hockey with Jim Rich from Fox 9. Jim, we went over the four possible playoff matchups for the Minnesota Wild earlier today. Anaheim, Chicago, Nashville, or St. Louis. We play Chicago, Nashville, and St. Louis on the road the final three games of the regular season here. Which of those four teams would you like to see? Would you like to play in the first round? And which of those four teams would you like to avoid like the plague?
I'd like to see Chicago.
Yeah,
I think that would be something that would really pique the interest of the Wild players, knowing that they killed them off the last two seasons. Now you got a chance to kick them out of the playoffs without Patrick Kane. Hopefully he wouldn't be back, so that would certainly take a dynamic part of their offense off the ice. So I think that would be the one that I would like to see them draw first, because they're comfortable, they know them inside and out, and they know how to beat them. I think the one you'd want to avoid is St. Louis. I still think, even though the Blues are sputtering a little bit down the stretch, they just have so much meat and size to their roster with Backus and Oshie and Tarasenko, who's a dynamic player. He looks like the next up-and-coming superstar in the NHL, kind of like an Ovechkin-type player. So I think they may be the toughest draw for the Wild, followed by Anaheim, and I'd put Nashville on a side that I'd want to play.
Yeah, it's interesting because the superstar and I discussed earlier today, and we've talked about this at length every time we've seen the Minnesota Wild take on Anaheim. Even though they seem to skate around them, they're 0-3 against the Anaheim Ducks. That's a team that both of us would like to avoid in the first round because I just don't know that the Minnesota Wild have figured out how to beat the Anaheim Ducks, whereas since Dubnyk, we've beaten the St. Louis Blues.
Yep. Well, and you know, Anaheim is probably going to be the top team in the West, so they certainly know how to win hockey games. And even though they haven't played the best, you know, they don't lead the league in team defense. They're not the highest scoring team in the league. But they get it done with Corey, with Getzlaff and Corey Perry. Yeah. Those guys are so dangerous, and they get the goaltending done a little bit with Anderson and Gibson. Those are the guys that they've been counting on, but nobody has really stepped to the real forefront. And so I think they'd have a pretty good shot, but you're right. Anaheim is a team that's probably going to be the top seed in the West, so you certainly can't sneeze at that.
Well, Jim, what do you think Anaheim is doing right now as they speculate the same scenarios that we are right now? I mean, how much respect do you think they've gained for the Minnesota Wild in seeing them ranked number one now in the NHL? And the power rankings.
Right.
And so what do you think they would be thinking right now, even though they pretty much have our number?
I think everybody's a little nervous about this Wild team. I think that, before, people were probably like, yeah, oh, I'd love to get Minnesota in the first round. They're not strong, they're not tough, they're not overly aggressive, and their goaltending, obviously, before was a disaster. Now they're looking at the Wild going like, okay, they've loaded up with Chris Stewart, they've beefed up their defense with Leopold, Dumba now has come into his own, and, offensively, they've got three different lines that can score, depending on what type of style of game you want to play. So I think a lot of people do not want to draw the Wild in the first round. I think now they're looking at the same scenarios as I look at St. Louis and go, you know what, I really don't want to mess with that if I don't have to.
Yeah, no kidding. Seventh in the Western Conference playoff standings, the first wild card spot, 95 points the Wild have, 3 points behind Chicago, four ahead of Winnipeg. Six games to go, starting with the New York Rangers tonight. Put your psychic hat on, get your crystal ball out, your tarot cards, whatever it is. Three home games, three games on the road, all against playoff contending teams. How do you see today, now that the Wild have had 4 days off, the Wild finishing up this season here?
I think they go at least 4-2. I don't see why things are going to turn around for them at this point. I think tonight is going to be the hardest game for them to get that mojo back, because they've been sitting around as long as we've been talking about them for 4 days, and they're getting kind of sick of looking at the reporters coming in there every day. So do you think this layoff is really going to hurt you? they're sick of that question, and they want to get back on the ice, but they're going to be a little nervous. Dubnyk, probably wants to make sure he's still got it. So there's a lot of questions to be answered in the first period, and the Rangers are a team many feel will win the East and be in the Stanley Cup final. So it's a huge test all the way around tonight.
But you have to believe that these players don't want to get out of that rhythm. We heard Mike Yeo talk about it in the soundbite that we brought you in with, is that he's, they do have a nice rest, but you're going to have to find your rhythm and find out, what you've got going on quick in this next game, which is tonight. I'm big on that. The sports are rhythm. And if you fall out of that mojo and out of that momentum swing that you're in, and they've been in it for months, so I don't really see them. I think this is who they are. But I do when you have some time off.
Well, let's turn it around and bring it back to you. Bye weeks, what were they like for you? If you came in winning five straight and sat down for a week, obviously this wasn't as long a stretch as you guys got with the bye weeks, but still it's a little bit the same. What was it like for you? Was it easy to get it right back again, or did you see the team being a bit sluggish to start?
You know, there were teams that I played with that were, it was just absolutely horrible, trying to get back on the horse and putting the shoulder pads back on after some time off just to breathe. But Denny would practice us all the way in as far as he could practice. And then he would allow only the minimum amount of time and actually get us flown back in the night before you were actually supposed to be in and make sure you were back on the field and actually thumping right away. He would just take you out of your comfort zone right away in practice. So we never really had a problem with bye weeks here with the Vikings and getting back in the swing. Not with Denny.
Well, I didn't think you were. You're the superstar.
Well,
you
know, no,
why would
I
you
mean,
ever be
team,
out of the swing?
Well, yeah. I mean, well, please. I mean, I'm automatic. But no, our teams, our team. Yeah,
oh, except God. In 98.
Yeah, that one that I threw over Gary's head. But I would say that
well,
our
if
teams.
If he was taller, it wouldn't have been a problem.
Yeah, I mean, just catch it and drop kick the damn thing. I mean, get over
it. You haven't missed all year.
Yeah, drop kick it. Do something Jim Thorpe-like. But our teams, in general, is what I'm saying, they came back strong because, you know, we had our rhythm. Our running game had rhythm, and our offensive linemen found their punch again, and defensive linemen got their legs back. And, you know, I mean, they were able to come off the ball and knew what they were doing because Denny would work us first day back. So that's what I think, and I'm hoping that that's the case in practice time when they have it with the Wild, is that they give them something to think about by practicing a little harder and putting some sweat up and getting the lather up.
And that's funny you say that, because that's exactly how Yo approached it. He gave them Sunday and Monday off, and then Tuesday, Wednesday, they went hard and they went long. And so you're right. I think he was thinking the same thing. Get that battle mode back up, get your intensity back up, and, you know, let's get right back to where we were. And so I think he was trying to push the same buttons on his players as what Coach Green did with you guys.
It'll be interesting to see. You're talking to Jim Rich from Fox 9 tonight. The Wild back at it, New York Rangers, XL Energy Center, just 6 games to go in the regular season. People are getting healthy. Mike Gill was talking about it earlier today, saying we've got so many guys out there. I'm just going to have to do some shuffling, but depth is a great thing to have as you go into the playoffs. Jim Rich, thank you so much. We'll watch you for the rest of the evening on Fox 9. I'll be glued to the TV. I don't care if I'm going to go blind. If I sit too close to the TV, I don't care what your mom says or my mom has told me. I'm going to watch you on Fox 9 religiously. That's how much I love you, okay?
Wow. That's a ringing endorsement, disobeying your mom to watch Fox 9.
And believe me, that's a big deal at their house.
Yeah.
I mean, for him to go against what his mom has said.
Yeah,
I've been over
cross.
There. I mean, they had me over the other night for dinner. Mm-hmm. I mean, and Ben.
My mom's a real deal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Jim, we got to run, though. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate
Stay
it.
Boys.
We'll talk to you tomorrow. Go Wild. Jim Rich, Fox 9. Coming up, your guy, Mike Berardino.
Woo,
talking
man.
Baseball.
Hardball. Look out, seam heads.
From pro to college, time to oil up the mitts. It's Hardball with Mike Berardino.
A lot of information in the head of here, so I'm willing to learn it.
Definitely excited to have him lead the way.
Get your seam head talk right now on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
I think the hardest thing for a club that has lost years in a row is to reestablish a culture of the expectation of winning. I think the Twins bringing Torrey Hunter back is to remind those young players that they were great and they can be great again.
It's pretty safe to say. You definitely want to reintroduce it if they don't know what it is. I mean, winning is a habit. Unfortunately, so is losing. You've got to get them changed in their evil ways. If they're accepting losing and losses, they will continue to until someone straightens that out. We bring in just such a man, by the way, Mike Berardino. He can straighten it out. He has had that talk with the players. And I don't know. Are they buying into it or not, Mike?
You're assuming that anyone would listen to me if I told them.
Well, we have you on right now. We love to listen to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'll speak to what you just said about losing being a habit. I mean, there's mm-hmm. no doubt about that. And I was talking to Torrey Hunter about this just a few days ago, and how he will look for those moments where even if they just lose two in a row, but they're two bad losses, the kind of losses where he senses that they're accepting what happened rather than fighting and going down in a way that's a competitive way that you want to see. There are good losses, there's bad losses in any sport. He says that he'll be keeping his finger on that pulse, and there's things that he sometimes you intervene in an angry way, sometimes you intervene in a quiet way individually. That's leadership, and I'll be interested to see how he
conducts that over the course of a year, because the Twins were able to avoid long losing streaks last year. That was one of the weird things about that team last year, where they took it in September. I don't believe they ever had more than a 5-game losing streak, and they were almost unique in that way in the American League. They were among the teams that had the shortest long losing streak. It was, the problem was they never really got on a long roll.
Talking Hardball, Twins Baseball with Mike Berardino every day at 5:30, brought to you by Nature's Fury. NutriDrink vitamins have never tasted this refreshing. Mike, as the spring training's kind of wrapping up here, people are placing their grades on each Major League Baseball team, whatever they're, you know, whoever they're covering or whatnot. What would you give the Minnesota Twins in spring training down there? You get to see them every day. You talk to them every day. Paul Molitor, the new manager. Torrey Hunter's back. Some of the young kids sent down a little bit early, but Kenny Vargas and Danny Santana look to be holding their own. No sophomore slumps. Pretty good ERA team, I want to say 9th or 10th in Major League Baseball in spring training. Pretty decent ERA. What grade would you give the Twins in spring training this year?
A+. They didn't lose a single game that mattered.
I like that.
You can't worry about spring stats, but you know, in terms of health, they were very fortunate. Terry Ryan's the first. I mean, he's not superstitious at all. He mentioned several times that they'd avoided the injury bug, but the problem they had this spring was the flu bug, and that threw off people for like 2-day increments. And currently, it's Kyle Gibson who's going to be a little bit weakened as he prepares eventually for the fourth game of the regular season. That'll be in Chicago. But there's no reason to think that'll really set him back. But yeah, I'm not big on those grades. I don't know who's doling out grades for spring training, but
every other baseball writer but you.
Well, they're idiots. I'd encourage you to ignore that.
No, but I mean, there's got to be some promise or some progress coming from
really.
Fort Myers. You get to see the Twins every single day. Well, obviously, we do reading, yeah. We do research, we read in TwinsBaseball.com. We watch the news.
I heard
you
play video games to get your research. That was the last I heard. You get it all off the video game.
No, not my research, but that's how I learn all the players' names from all. I mean, because there are so many players, so many teams, it's hard to.
A lot of players.
Yeah, tons of players, and it's hard to keep track of everybody. But MLB the Show, yeah, that's awesome, by the way. But Mike Berardino, why are you being so cantankerous today?
I feel like it.
Today. Okay.
Will you learn how to pronounce the players' names also from the video game? Is that how that works?
Oh, my goodness. This is getting heated up in here. This is good.
A lot of them. A lot of tough names.
Oh, Mike Berardino. Well, I would say this. If there was one or two names I'd like to have back, it'd be Buxton and Sano. I'd say that much. I don't know why they send those kind of guys down. I just never. I'm a football player. You either make the team or you don't, I guess. But
there are three different tiers: AAA, Double A.
I don't care. Get them up here. If it's Mike Trout and Bryce Harper, then get their asses up here and let them play.
But they're not going to be Mike Trout or Bryce Harper if they're brought up too early. Look what happened with Aaron Hicks, and I would argue Carlos Gomez.
Everyone's different. I mean, would you agree with any of that, Mike? You don't have to.
He doesn't agree with
anything
very much.
We say.
I said I'm on record on your very show about a week ago, 10 days ago, one of the very first of this season. Well, I said, you could bring up Buxton and Sano for 7 to 10 days. Look at Jorge Polanco last year. Jorge Polanco came up for a 3-day span in Texas. He looked like an all-star, but the Twins were smart enough not to go for that fool's gold and try to insert him into the lineup somewhere. They could have made him the shortstop when Santana had the knee injury. They didn't do that because Jorge Polanco wasn't really ready. Hadn't had enough at minor league at bat. There's a rough range on all these guys that they need to get into in terms of at bats or innings, and they're not going to rush that. It's Paul Masson, right? It's Orson Welles sitting there selling no wine until it's time. You cannot rush these guys, otherwise they will be crushed like grapes. And there, I've completed the metaphor.
I like it.
Nice though. It's for me at least. I didn't play baseball, only football, and the other stuff that you either make it or you don't, kind of thing. And it's just hard. And even though Arena League has turned out to be sort of that farm system, or NFL Europe. I mean, I understand how it works, and guys have to have game reps.
Well,
but at the plate, I guess what you're saying is, these guys at the plate are going to be looking at so much when it comes to pitching that they have to have more at bats and they have to look at more pitches.
Football may be football from the highest level of college football. Obviously, the big jump to the NFL, but football is still football. Mm-hmm. And schemes are still schemes. But pitchers pitch you differently, vastly differently. and have the ability that's vastly different from double A, even to triple A, and then the jump to the majors is just is mind-boggling for those guys. And that's how you see some of the best hitters in recent generations. They got to the major leagues. I think Robin Ventura started 0 for 40, very famously.
Wow.
You know, Derek Jeter had a very long slump early in his career. I mean, 0 for 35 or something. It can happen, but only the very best and the ones who have the staying power can make it through that. But there's plenty of others who get buried, and we don't know. We don't know yet if Aaron Hicks starting 2 for 49 in the major leagues ruined his chances. But he was a former first-round pick, and he had all the five tools, and he still has those tools. But he's starting this year in the minor leagues, and Terry Ryan openly admits that he messed that up. He rushed him. Not only did he trade off two guys who were pretty good in center field in Span and Revere for pitchers who are not in the major league rotation yet and threatening to be, but not there yet, but Aaron Hicks will never know if that that's what he started, 2 for 49. Did that ruin what was a very promising career? And so, you know, everybody's different. But you cannot tell me for a second that that example won't be in the back of the decision makers' minds when they decide when exactly to bring up Byron Buxton.
Mike Berardino, you're different.
Hey, Mike is kind of a prick, huh?
Yeah, well, that's what I got
to
do.
Yeah. Hardball, Mike Berardino, brought to you by Nature's
Good
Fury.
Stuff.
NutriDrink vitamins. I've never tasted this refreshing. I was going to ask you another question, but you talk for years. Mike, we'll talk to you tomorrow. I've got a question already that I'm going to ask you as the Twins cut down to 25 before opening day. But enjoy your evening. Get out on the golf course, eat some seafood, whatever it is you're going to do. Enjoy the sunshine. But Mike Berardino, we gots to go. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right. See you guys.
See ya.
Bye. And there he goes. That's just one of those things right there. You two just can't get along. I don't know for the life of me why you two can't get along.
Because Mike's kind of a prick.
I think it's just an amazing thing where I cannot get you two to carry on a decent conversation.
It's so funny because off the air, he's like, he pretends to be my best friend. He's like, oh, hey, Ben, how are you? Oh, you're cold? Oh, yeah, it's a great time. We'll talk about the Twins on the radio. Oh, yeah, it's a fantastic. Did you have a nice afternoon? What's going on? And then he gets on the air and then he's like, rah, 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 rah.
That was pretty good, though. Oh, well. It wouldn't be sports if we didn't do something like that. It's just a little trash talk afternoon,
it's
I guess.
Right.
It's my break, so have some AC/DC queued up because we're going to talk about some of these players coming up in the draft that have been either helping or hurting themselves, risers or fallers in the draft. Next.
Aaron Jones and Chris Christie are probably the most important latent homosexual relationship since Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson.
You don't really mean that, obviously.
Well, they both desperately want to be loved. They want to be loved. And I agree that being in the owner's box is not the way.
King Friedman, remember when he said that about Jerry Jones and Chris Christie after that first game they cheated with the referees and they beat the Detroit Lions.
Detroit.
You know,
the reversal, of the pass interference.
If you ever get a chance to see the GIF of that or the video of Jerry Jones and Chris Christie, honest to God, grabs a hold of Jerry Jones. Surprised he didn't eat him, but he like side humped him.
It was uncomfortable.
He
it was an uncomfortable moment, even for the National Football League.